Without followers, evil cannot spread.
You're an atheist. Tell me, how would you judge if he really was a Christian or just posing for one? Hey, I'm telling you, I'm a cow. Moo. Moo. I must be a cow, right? So am I a cow?
Nope. We have enough record to understand how apes have evolved into humans.
How do you know that? Who told you that?
Who told me that specifically? Like, you think one...
Your teachers in school? What you're telling me is that there's a universal something that you don't know about that caused the Big Bang, and you don't know what it was, and nobody does, and yet you believe it. Man, you believe it on faith. Oh, by the way, moo. So am I a cow?
No, I don't think so, but...
Well, wait a minute. Why not? I'm mooing.
If anyone were to try to say within the classroom setting that the theory of evolution is somehow in question among the scientific community, that person would be subject to lose their job.
Exactly. So they're not free to be open and honest, are they? Oh, by the way, moo.
Logical. Flawlessly logical.
Everybody, how you doing? It's Faith and Reason time again, and it is a Tuesday, and I hope you're having a good day. I'm feeling better. I was kind of raspy yesterday, fighting that old chest cold. I still will be coughing occasionally. Hope you don't mind that. I'll be using the cough button. Hope you don't hear it, and stuff like that. Hold on. Let me practice. There we go. And, hey, open calls tonight, whatever you want to, you know, we can talk about whatever you feel like talking about. Couple things come to mind, but let me get the phone number out because, you know, basically, it's toll-free, 877-207-2276, 877-207-2276. Now, let's see, I've got to make some notes here, but I want to go over a couple things and talk about some stuff. By the way, folks, we stay on the air by your generous support. Should you decide to help us out that way, we really appreciate that. The thing to do is go to the CARM.org website, CARM.org, and on the homepage there you will see a link so you can, you know, donate. We ask $5 a month. Actually, we're kind of asking a little bit more. We're asking for $20 a month because we think that CARM is worth it. If you like what you hear, if you like what you see, and if you enjoy the website, please consider supporting us. And there's a reason for it. You see, we want to expand as much as we can. We want to get into as many areas as possible to do as much as possible. We want to reach out. What I really want to do is get a staff, a full-blown staff, office, hours, time cards, all that kind of stuff, and do a lot of research, a lot of writing, video production. I've got some very good ideas designed to help help a lot of Christians developing coursework, Sunday school lessons, home courseworks, things like that. I've been working on a lot of that. In fact, I've been working on the family training course a lot recently, and I'm going to try and do one lesson a day. And hopefully in about, 3, 4, 5 months, maybe, by God's grace, it'll be ready to be reviewed as a first draft to see how people like it. All right. Feel free. And by the way, if anybody's curious, know what we do here in the show, maybe you're just driving by, it's kind of new, you're not sure what's up. What we do here is we answer questions. Now, we do it a little bit differently than a lot of these Christian types on the radio. I love to debate atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics. I love to debate people who, really don't have the truth. Am I arrogant? Well, I guess I am. But I'm also quite confident in the Word of God, in the truth of God's Word. I really believe that the Bible is true and inspired and inerrant in the original documents. And I believe that we need to, as Christians, to really support it, to stick to the Word of God. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So there's so many things to be able to talk about. There's so many things that we could get into. I'm kind of curious to know what you're thinking about, what you want to do. And, you know, and also, you know, what do you like to see done on the show? I'm kind of curious. I'd like to know what you think, what you'd like to see. Because basically, you know, I've been on for 4 years now, and I'm wondering, you know, how much longer to continue this. We've not expanded to other stations. It just really hasn't come in that way. The economy's not real favorable to this. But, you know, I'm curious. I want to know what you think. Now, I know that when I ask this occasionally, I get a lot of emails a few days later because of the podcasters. I know a lot of people listen to the podcast. There's like 1,200 podcast downloads a day on the site. So that's great. I just praise God. So I'm just curious what you think of the show, what you would like to see, what you hope to see, or hear, I should say, and, you know, if you like it. Okay? Now, I got something for you. Someone showed this to me, and it's a quote. Now, I'm reading the quote off of James White's website. It's a great website, Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's AOMIN.org, Alpha Omega Ministries, AOMIN.org. James White, he's basically a scholar, and he's written tons of books, tons of articles. He's a great guy. I had the pleasure of meeting him in September in Portland when he and I did a debate against Dan Barker. Now, James debated him in the morning. I debated Dan Barker in the evening. And so James and I got to hang out a little bit, have dinner together, you know, with some others. We had a good time. He's a great guy. I like him. And on his website, I'm looking at something which someone pointed out to me today. It's a quote. Now, I've had this guy on the air before here, Tim Staples. He's a Catholic apologist. Now, I'm going to read something that is on AOM.org's website. So I have not verified that this is what Tim Staples has actually said. But I have basically every confidence in the blog that goes out, why I'm really quite sure that Tim Staples did say this. Now, I'm going to read something here. It's going to take 15 seconds or so. Listen closely. We're going to go over this because this is really an important statement. And what I want you to listen for, I'm going to read it a couple of times, is what sounds Christian versus what really is Christian. Now, you will not know the difference if you don't know Christian theology. So check this out. This is from Tim Staples, quote, "The bottom line here is this. Jesus Christ did not suffer and die so that we don't have to. Jesus Christ suffered and died so that our good works offered up in Him can be truly pleasing and salvific before God. And indeed, Jesus didn't suffer and die so that we don't have to suffer and die. He suffered and died so that our suffering and death could be salvific." Now, this is really a fascinating statement. It is full of heresy. It is fascinatingly bad to me. Now, I love heresy. I don't know why I do. I mean, I guess people like to watch car crashes. Man, I love to read heresy. And this is damnable heresy. And what we're going to do is we're going to get to this after we get this next caller. But if you want to call, folks, two open lines. The number is 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jeff from New York. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Matt. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing okay. How are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm hanging
I haven't called
here.
You in a while. How are things going?
Yeah, they're going. It's a rough week last week. But we're surviving. We're doing stuff.
Awesome. Awesome.
So what's up?
I had a question about kind of God's attitude towards certain things that maybe we don't think too much about. Jay and I were having a theology study the other night, and I was thinking about it earlier, about like the forms of entertainment that we partake in as Christians. It should be God-honoring. It shouldn't be worldly. But it was kind of put on my mind of, like, does God feel indifferent about some things?
Okay.
I mean, I know He hates sin. He loves righteousness. But I'll just kind of put it out there. I'm a big fan of the Police music,
mm-hmm.
like Sting.
Yeah.
I know, but I like it. A lot of the songs, they're not blasphemous or overly sinful by any means. Yet at the same time, they're not glorifying God.
Okay.
Now, I know in a lot of these issues is kind of an adiaphora in Romans 14 sort of thing, but I was thinking kind of past that, like, how does God Himself look at these things? What would be your opinion or your take on that?
Well, you see, biblically, we can make the case that all things that a Christian does should be done for the glory of God and should
Right.
be done with a motive of bringing glory and praise to Him through the person of Jesus Christ and through the work of Christ. So literally, driving your car for the glory of God. You can't find your car keys. For the glory of God, you pray, you ask God to find them. Making dinner to feed your family. Doing work. These are to be done for the glory of God. Now, I could just say, oh, we're done with that, let's go on to the next point. But I don't want to do that. It's something that needs to be focused on a little bit more than people realize. And the reason is because God is the absolute center of all truth. He's the reason the universe exists. He's the reason we exist. He's the reason we're saved. He is the one who is worthy of all praise and glory and honor, because there's no one greater than He. He is awesomely wondrous. So this is why, naturally speaking, God should be the one who is honored and praised, and we, in response to the saving work of Christ, God in flesh, should respond in our lives in an attempt to live every which way we can for God. That's the goal, right?
Right.
On the other hand, not to excuse this, however, we're sinners, and we've got a lot of problems, and I've met you in person, and I can vouch for it. You've got a lot of issues. They're quite large. You have more issues than National Geographic. And, you know, so, and, you know, it's really tough to try and be all that great all the time. And sometimes, you know, we just hear something we like. And so let's say you're watching a movie. It's got a cool beat to it. You're kind of bopping to it. Is that done for the glory of God? Well, not really. Is it okay to bop? Hey, that's cool. I'm bopping my head. Am I doing it for the glory of God? Oh, I'm in sin. I don't think God looks at us that way. You bopped.
Right.
You bopped your head, not for me. Therefore, you have sinned. Go to hell. You know, that's not how it works. He'd do it with a lot lower voice and a lot more rumbling, too, than I did. But so hold on. Had to cough there again. Still getting over the chest cold.
I think
you know, ultimately all things must be done for the glory of God. And I think that when we start our days, we should say, Lord, let me live for you. And if we accidentally, you know, bebop our head to some music that might be a little bit pagan, a little hip-hop, a little whatever, well, I don't think we've sinned. But then we get in this gray area of, well, what can we do and how much can we listen to and how purposely can we do it? Well, you know, the Bible says that we are not bound under the law, and that all things are lawful for us now because we've died to the law via the person of Jesus Christ. So we have the freedom to be able to listen to stuff, and we do. So if you and I are walking down a street and we're talking about stuff, and excuse me, and you know, there's a band, cool band, playing in a nightclub, could you and I walk in there and go enjoy the club? In one sense, yes. In another sense, no. If I'm there speaking someplace, I'm not going to go in there. Someone might see me, and it might inadvertently stumble somebody. If I were to just, you know, I'm just, you know, you came out to see me. We're just walking around and we're talking. I could go in, hey, that's their cool band. I'm not going to be stumbling anybody, because in that case, no one would know who I am, and I don't want to inadvertently stumble a Christian. So our freedom is not to be used as a stumbling block for anybody else. Now, let me just keep talking about this, because I know of people in my circles here, and I'd be careful of this, how I say this, I don't want them to hear and be offended, but who I, in my opinion, are a bit legalistic about what they will and will not watch, see, do, think, say, everything. And my children, we give a little more leeway. So, for example, I have introduced my kids to such bands as Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple from, you know, my heyday, to... seriously, to Prince, to you know, the Police, you know, and various bands, because I've done it not all at once and here's all the albums, go listen, have fun. I want them to understand what the world offers, and I want them to be made aware of it in under the headship that I provide for them, so that they are guarded while they're listening, because they're going to be exposed to it when they get out of the house. Like it or not, that's a fact. You know, it's like living in a village someplace, and there's fires all over the place, and perpetual fires from these little underground gas things. And you never teach your kids what fire is. They get out there, finally they're out of the home, they go out there, and they get burned real bad. Badly.
Right.
We don't want that. Hey, this is a fire. Get your hand close to it, see how it hurts. Okay, don't do that. Okay? Oh, I get it. And so, you know, I'm not saying this is how everybody should be. This is my relationship with my Lord and my children that I want to prepare them as an apologist. I want to prepare them.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, we get all these gray areas about how much should we do? What can we do? Can we do? So let's bring it kind of back. So, okay, you like the police, you know, and they're not bad. And, you know, I think it's kind of doofusy of you, but that's okay. You know, I got better things. You know,
okay.
You know, I like Galactic Cowboys, for example. Okay. Now, right. They're more heavy metal and a Christian band. I like that kind of stuff. I think you're kind of wimpy. But that's okay. Everybody's, you know, it's all cool. So can you listen to it without sinning? I believe so. Can you listen to it for the glory of God? If you, I believe you can, if in the sense you're realizing that God has even gifted unbelievers. Now, if it becomes something that becomes a draw to you and in any way detracts from the glory of God in your life, then it's something you need to deal with.
Right.
So, you know, complicated topic. Difficult to get through.
Right, but I guess, not to, like, beat around the bush, but, like, I guess, like, okay, one of the police songs is, like, and I'm just using this as an abstract illustration. One of the police songs, Message in a Bottle. I mean, there's, you know, I try to be as spiritually discerning as I can. There's nothing in the song that's sinful, yet it doesn't glorify God.
Okay.
From God's perspective, okay, not so much me listening to that song, but the song by itself playing and God hears it. Is that something he's going to enjoy? Is that something he's going to hate? And one thing that comes to my mind is, excuse me for saying this, but the Shack, and its horrible representation of God the Father, listening to some band that hadn't even been made yet,
right,
of like some kind of jazz, and God was just kind of grooving to it, and you know, Papa or whatever the name of the God was in that dreadful book, was just kind of listening to it, grooving to it. Now, my understanding of God, I don't quite see that as happening. So, like, and I know it's always, like, difficult to touch because God is God and we're fallen, we're human. He's infinite and we're finite. But, like, some of the stuff that we listen to or that we watch, I mean, yeah, it might be lawful and we could partake of it if it doesn't cause others to stumble or ourselves to stumble. But from God's point of view, how do you think he views some of these things that are not sinful, and yet they don't glorify him?
How can something not be sinful and not glorify him? That'd be a question we'd have to ask if that's a legitimate place to hold. This would get to something we have to talk about philosophically in Christian ideas and take some concepts and work with them.
Right.
And, you know, I do believe that God is very patient and very kind with us. He's very gracious. And, you know, if you're changing your kid's diapers, are you doing it for the glory of God? Well, in one sense, yes. In another sense, no. How much are we to have our motivation of everything that we ever do in our thought and deed for the glory of God? I think the thing to do is each day is start up your day and say, Lord, use me this day. I want to glorify you. I'm going to mess up because I'm human. Even that may glorify you in your great grace and infinite wisdom. And you go through the day. And, you know, you glorify God by going through the day, by trying to live a godly life, by trying to get rid of those things in your life that aren't glorifying to him. And I believe that the Lord will communicate to you. And he's kind of convicted me about a couple of things recently, about some of the things that I listen to. And so, you know, I'm just going, okay, yes, I hear that. And so I'm making adjustments because I want to bring glory to God. I need to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I do that. You know, I just released a small article I did on the movie Avatar on the website. And so, you know, I watched the movie Avatar. Can you watch it? Well, yeah. You know, me as an apologist, I need to see more films than most, maybe, and do reviews on them. So, you know, it's an incredibly well-done movie. It's fantastic. It really is. But it's got this new age.
I saw it. I mean, there's a huge amount of pagan stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from like a visual standpoint, it's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Nothing comes close. Really, that's why it's already made $1.2 billion. You know, I think it's going to set records all over the place. Well, the bad guys in the movie are the corporations, the capitalists, the military. Who's the good guy? Well, it's the person rebelling against those things, and, you know, with the nature lovers out there. Well, this is paganism. And you know, are we allowed to watch it? Well, in one sense, yes. In another sense, no. Like for me, I can read the Book of Mormon, which is, you know, an Antichrist book. Can I read it for the glory of God? Absolutely. I read it for the purpose of studying heresy to expose it. So in itself, it's not a bad thing. Motives, purpose, reasons have a lot to do with it. That doesn't mean, is it okay to watch porn, you know, if you do it for the glory of God? No, we've got a problem here, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's a kind of a, it's a tough one. But, you know, at any rate, I really don't have a great answer. But I would say this, that you want to bring glory to God, and you want to check your heart before Him. And ask Him if listening to certain things, ask Him in your heart, ask Him in prayer, is it glorifying Him? And just see what the Lord would lead you to feel, to sense, and, you know, just go with what your feeling is. It's just kind of a subjective thing, but the Holy Spirit does indwell us, and He does speak to us. And maybe He won't say anything. Maybe, just, you know, in His heart, He'll just go, yeah, I can listen to this and enjoy it. I mean, my wife and I, one of our favorite songs is by the Eagles. I Can't Tell You Why. We heard that song in the background when we first told each other we loved each other.
Aww.
It's a great song. And for years, whenever we would hear it, we'd stop and look at each other, give each other a hug. Or in the kitchen, it would come on the radio, you know, might listen to a secular station, whatever, music, whatever. And we danced slowly to it. And we got cell phones, and I'd hear it on the radio. And I'd call her up, hey, listen to what I'm listening to. Well,
right.
Is it sinful? I don't think so. You know, it's
right.
A tough one.
Okay.
Tough one.
Well, there's probably cause behind me. So two real quick things.
No, there isn't.
Them,
go ahead.
Jay says hi. He says, hey. What's up?
Hey, Jay.
You think you're so slick.
That doesn't Jay. Hey, Jay, can you hear me, Jay? Jay?
He's witnessing to a group of girls right now, actually.
I bet they're cute, too.
And number two, maybe not so much so for the two of us, but kind of anyone listening, are there any specific ways that that we can pray for you?
Well, yeah. For me specifically, I would pray that God would work in my heart to make me more of a godly man and a godly husband. And okay. Also pray for my father. I don't know if you've heard, but he's got pancreatic cancer. He's got 3 to 6 months to live. And I don't know if he's saved.
Okay. Definitely.
And there's going to be some financial burden upon us, and I'm not complaining about that. I'm privileged to be able to work with that. But because of that, it looks like hospice and costs and things like that, and we're already strapped. And I'm not whining, not complaining. I'm just saying those are some issues, and we all have to go through things like that. And
right.
Just trusting God. So it's just, you know, lift up that stuff before the Lord. That'd be great. And also, ask me one more thing. That God
sure.
would expand the borders of Carm into different languages, different cultures, different continents. That we'd get, if God's will would allow it, an office so we can really do a lot more.
Okay. Definitely. I will pass that along. And hopefully there's other people in Carmland out there listening. And we will definitely do that. But,
appreciate
all
that.
Right, I'm gonna jump off. Thank you so much for the answer and your time, Matt. We'll keep you in prayer.
Okay.
Keep up the good fight of faith, brother. Take care. God bless, brother.
All right. Now, hey, real quick, tell Jay if he gets stuck with something with these girls, he doesn't know how to answer something, call me up and put him on the phone. Put the girls on the phone, okay? We'll do it live.
All right.
Okay, man.
We may be talking to you later.
All right. Okay, God bless,
all right,
buddy.
Take care, brother. God bless.
All right. Okay, bye. Well, hey, folks, that was Jeff. And actually, Jay, in the background, from the New York area, when I debated Dan Barker in Portland, they flew all the way out and got to meet them. They're great guys. They were just neat guys, except for Jeff. Jeff's got issues, you know, like I said, lots of them. But no, really, they're great guys and really enjoy their company, and they are always welcome at my house. So, hey, folks, 877-207-2276. That's 877-207-CARM. Now, let me get back to what I was reading. This thing from Tim Staples. Tim Staples is a Roman Catholic, and what he does is he goes on various radio shows trying to defend the Catholic faith. He believes the Catholic faith is true. It's the true and living faith. And he writes books, he does lectures, debates, etc. I'd love to debate him on a couple topics. At any rate. Now, I've already read the quote. I'm going to read it one more time and go through it. The bottom line here is this, he says. Jesus Christ did not suffer and die so that we don't have to. Jesus Christ suffered and died so that our good works offered up in him can be truly pleasing and salvific before God. Now, and the quote there and just top. Do you believe that our suffering is salvific for us? That our suffering brings salvation in any way before God? That's what salvific means. That has a saving effect. Now, who are we saved from? We're saved from God. What are we saved from? God's wrath. We're saved from the righteous judgment of God. The person we're saved from is God, not the devil, not ourselves. The devil doesn't cast us into hell. The devil isn't the judge. We are not going to cast ourselves into hell. We are not the judge. God is. God is the one who is the righteous judge who will execute judgment upon people who have not trusted in Christ. Now, it was Jesus who suffered on the cross for our salvation. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his stripes we are healed. You will never find in Scripture that we have to suffer in order to be saved from the righteous judgment of God. To teach that in any way is demonic doctrine. To teach that salvation in any way depends on our suffering before God is demonic teaching. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the one who paid for our sins. He satisfied the law. He did all of it. He said, it is finished on the cross. There's nothing more to be done. Since that's the case, there is nothing we can do. This is why Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, he teaches us that justification is by faith, and we are justified when we believe. Not when we believe and get baptized, or believe and go to some church, or anything like that. So, what Mr. Staples is teaching here is seriously, it's heresy. He is teaching an antichrist theology. It's bad stuff. And yet, this is what he's teaching. I want to know the context of what he was teaching. I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to have him call me up and say, this is what I meant by it. So let's talk about it, because it's horrible teaching. Let's get to another caller, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Eric from Virginia. Hey, Eric.
How you doing, Matt?
Doing okay. What's up?
Ooh, I just have a couple questions concerning about the ministry.
Okay.
I'm in my senior year of high school, and I feel the calling of the Lord to be in the ministry.
Okay.
And I was wondering, if you can give me some advice, how to be most successful in the ministry, but yet still staying true to the gospel. Because I'm aware,
How do you define successful?
Well, a successful, I don't mean like as in like finances.
Okay.
I just mean as in getting the word out as most effectively. And by staying true, I mean by truly teaching what the Bible says, that Christ died for our sins, and only through him will we, one, be saved and be redeemed,
Okay. So when you say successful, you're talking about not being successful financially and staying true to God's word. Anything else?
I see your ministry, how it's skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard your podcast, and I've heard your different testimonies of how you've gone through different struggles. And I see you have a strong foundation in Christ.
Mm, by God's grace.
And excuse me?
By God's grace.
Yeah, through that. And
let me ask you a question.
My thing is, how do you get to that point where it's just like you go through all this hell and you just still stay firm and still, preach the word?
Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to go into ministry?
Well, because there are lost souls out in the world, and they simply need to hear of God's love and grace,
okay,
and of his of his son, Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us.
All right. Any other reasons? Is that the main one? I'm just seeing what's on your heart. I have a reason for asking these questions.
Well, I just want to serve the Lord. That's really it.
Okay. How long have you been saved?
For about a year and a half.
Okay. Do you want to go to a seminary?
I do, yeah.
Okay. What church do you go to now? What denomination type thing, or is it non-denomination?
Well, I'm Assemblies of God, Pentecostal.
Okay. All right.
Well, that is, we do believe in the Trinity.
Yeah, I know you do.
It's not oneness, yeah.
Okay, well, Assemblies of God, I'd recommend you get out of there, and I'll explain why, okay? But let's talk about some stuff first. There's a book I'd recommend you get. All right. It's Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. He was a guy in the 1800s in England who did the will of God, and his ministry was successful. And the reason it was successful was because he depended upon God. And there were some very tough times, but he depended upon God. There were some very good times. He depended upon God. He depended upon him, and he emptied his own heart of his own will. He got to the point where, when his daughter was dying, he could honestly say before the Lord, in prayer with his wife, Lord, if you take her, then I know that that is what's best for you, for your glory, and for me, and my wife, and for her. But if you let her live, then I know that that is what is best for your glory, and for me, and my wife, and for her. May your will be done, and you do what's best for your glory, God. And he says, but still, he says, I do desire that you let her live, if this be your will. That's a humble man. And and God chose to let her live. She was dying. Now, the thing is that what you want to do is you want to be able to have the right basis of motivation before God. You want to have the glory of God being one of the important issues, if not the most important issues in your life. If you want to go into ministry, what you're asking is to go to the spiritual store and get a t-shirt with a target on the front and the back. And you're asking for the enemy to take shots at you. You're asking for Christians to take shots at you. You're asking unbelievers to take shots at you. You're asking God to work in your heart and to do issues in your heart that no one's going to know about except you and him. There are going to be times when he's going to test your character, when the choice that you might have to make once or twice or three times might cost you a great deal. And you've got to choose what's honorable to God. You've got to be dedicated to him. If you want to go into ministry, half of me wants to say to you, are you crazy? The other half of me says, if you're called of God and you don't do this, woe is to you. But you've got to know what you're getting into. You've got to understand that going into ministry is not, hey, I'm going to go to ministry, and you go to get a college degree, and you get a degree, and you go to seminary, and you get to, you know, you get to apply to a church denomination, whatever, and maybe you get to be, you know, youth pastor, then an assistant pastor, then a pastor someplace, maybe, something like that. That's not how it works. Because as you're going through and studying the Word of God, God's saying, all right, Eric, let's deal with this one sin you've been hiding. What sin? I don't know about any sin. What are you talking about? And he brings it up. And you go, oh, that one. And then it's very difficult because you've got to go talk to somebody. You've got to confess to somebody. You've got to admit something. It might set you back a year. It might do this. It might do that. Are you willing to take a chance like that? Are you willing to?
Am I?
Yeah, you have to ask yourself. God's going to test you. He tests you for two reasons, to show you who he is and to show you who you are. And in it, he prepares you.
Right.
Seminary is very difficult, too. Now, about the Assemblies of God, my recommendation is that you, I can honestly be blunt, man to man, I'd recommend you get out of it. They're going liberal. Okay. They're teaching women can be pastors and elders, and they're man-centered in their doctrines. And it's up to you to make choices about God, up to you to decide, up to you, up to you, up to you. Now, I don't have any problem with the charismatic stuff. That's fine. The Bible, you know, supports that, 1 Corinthians 1:7. The issue, though, is that if you really want to bring glory to God, then you better study his word. And you got to start with the very glory and the nature of God himself, who's holy and perfect and pure. And we are not. We are completely dead in our sins. It is not up to us to choose God. The Bible says so. Romans 9:14. It's not up to the man who wills, or the, but God who has mercy. It says so.
Right.
Says John 1:13.
What do you mean by, Matt, I'm sorry.
It says in John 1:13.
What do you mean by up to you?
It's not up to you. The unbeliever does not have the wisdom or the ability to choose God. The unbeliever can only choose sinful things. Now, there's a reason I'm preaching this. And people are going to say, well, Matt, you're preaching Calvinism. No, I'm not. I'm preaching biblical theology. Because I just quoted verses that said exactly what I'm telling you. Now, there's a reason for this. There are too many churches in America right now where the denominations are heading towards the precipice of liberalism. They start off with good intentions. They put their fingers in their mouths, stick them up to the secular wind, and see which way it's blowing. They want to reach the secular people. They want to reach them in a way that, you know, the heart is right. They want to reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what they do is they might cater a service to them, or might take the lessons, the sermons, and weaken them just a little bit from the power, the truth of what really is said, in order not to offend the unbelievers, just to get them in to hear the word. Now, the motives are right. Trying to reach out. But in the process, what they're doing is they are appealing to emotions and feelings in order to reach out to others instead of depending completely and totally on the power of the word of God. If God, for example, says that he predestines us to salvation and that it's not up to us, John 1:13, that our believing is granted to us, Philippians 1:29, that he chooses us for salvation, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he caused us to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3, you can't believe those things and be in the Assemblies of God denomination. Why? Because they're not adhering to the Word of God in these areas. And if you want to bring glory to God, now listen to me, Eric, if you want to bring glory to God to the best of your ability, where your legs break at the knees, where you're down on your knees, your elbows are on your chair, your bed, whatever it is, you are praying, you're groaning out to God, and you're talking to God, and you say, I don't care what I am, I just want to be used. I don't care where you send me, I just want you to send me. I don't care what it is. Just use me as you want. If that's in your heart, when you open your word, you better believe what he has to tell you in it. And if he says these things that are difficult and you don't like them, then leave. But if you can handle these kinds of things which focus on the majesty of God, the glory of God, and the need of man in his total depravity to find grace in God, if you can get to that central core, then your life will be directed out of that motivation to bring glory to God. Then it won't matter where you are, how many people you're reaching. If you are called by God to save, so to speak, you, God uses you to save one person in your life. Let's just say that happens. That you go through college, seminary, bankruptcy, difficulties, heart attack, car wrecks, people are snotting all over you. But God has ordained all of that for you to go through, and you're praising him through it. You're not liking it, but you're praising him. And one day, one person comes to you and says, I've seen you go through this. Tell me about Jesus. And you tell him, the person gets saved. And that's all God's got ordained for you. Then you are a complete and total success. You understand?
Yeah.
It's not numbers. It's not quantity. It's what does God want you to do? The reason I want you to get that book, Answers to Prayer, is because George Mueller talks about how to find the will of God by first emptying your heart of your own desires, your own will, your own wants, and leaning and depending completely and totally on him. Well, in the process, what are you going to do when you come to God's word and you find things that I've learned over the years are stumbling blocks for groups, denominations, that tend to put emotion and liberalism ahead of the truths of God? All I'm doing is getting to the point.
Right.
The AG ultimately isn't going to serve you if you want to truly serve God. Truly. Am I saying people can't serve God in the AG? I'm not saying that. Maybe God has people in the AG. But I'll tell you something. There are too many denominations going liberal. That's one of them. The Nazarene Church has got its problems too. Now, they're not liberal completely yet, but we can hear the echoes down the hallways. of them talking about liberal issues, ordaining women. And next, next is homosexuality is okay. Where are you going to be? How are you going to serve God there? Right. Unless God calls you to be in there to be a witness to them, and if that's what he calls, you've got to be ready to serve him at every cost and at all cost. You understand?
I want to further, you know, talk to you about this Assemblies of God. My personal opinion is I don't feel like everything you're saying applies to necessarily every church.
Yes.
That is Assemblies of God. Now, I personally feel like we follow Scripture as close as we can. I may be wrong, you know, but could you sort of clarify what, you know, what sort of things Assemblies of God...
For one thing, there's two things. One, aren't they moving towards women ordination, women elders?
Yes, I've seen that.
Okay. That is flat out against Scripture. Titus chapter 1 and 2. I mean, excuse me, 1 Timothy 1 and 2 and Titus chapter 1. It's against Scripture.
Okay.
That someone's just typing this in, and you know what? They're right, I remember now. The AG, it used to be called the AOG, as we used to say it. They've ordained women from the beginning. Now, I could never attend a church that would do that, because I'd read in the Scriptures where it says, a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over men because Adam was created first. An elder must be a man of one woman. I mean, look, how do you get this? What do you do with this? Well, you know, it doesn't really mean what it says. Okay, fine. I'm not going to get involved with a church that I would have to battle my whole life.
Yeah.
I want the Word of God. If you really want the Word of God, then you got to go, for example, go to Ephesians 1 and study it. And study Romans 7, 8, and 9. Romans 7, 8, and 9. You got to study 7, 8, and 9 and Ephesians 1. And once you get to the point where you believe them, then you start thinking about the AG church denomination, you're going to realize there's a problem with the AG church. See, the reason I'm speaking so directly to you is I'm just trying to save you 20 years of hassle.
Yeah. In my church, my own church, we have a man pastor.
Well, so. let's get one more minute because we've got two callers hanging, okay?
Okay.
But, because, I'd love to talk to you more. Whenever someone talks about they want to get in ministry, I'll talk to them. You better make sure your calling's right. You're asking for trouble if you really want to serve God. Or you can lick your finger, put it up in the wind, and say, which way is the denomination going? Is it going with a secular movement? Hey, it is. Women pastors and elders. Unbiblical.
Yeah.
And they have a man-centered soteriology in that it's completely up to man to choose. They're called Arminians. And basically, they're teaching what's called Pelagianism, probably really just semi-Pelagianism, which is a heresy. See, we are called as Christian men to lead in truth. There are lots of things in the Bible that are not easy to take. But people don't want it because it's not easy to take. And would you be able to stand up in your denomination, a church, and preach a doctrine, preach a sermon on God's predestination and election, and that God makes some vessels for honorable use, and he chooses to make some for dishonorable use because it's his will and does not depend upon man. If you preached that, which is right out of Romans 9, they would not like it. But that's what the Word of God says. And you can't focus on the glory of God and his majesty if you can't preach that aspect of his glory and his majesty. Because to face Romans 9 is to face God in an area that we aren't real comfortable with. And if you can face Romans 9 and believe it, then you can understand the true nature of God a little better.
Right.
And then you'll be more apt to hear his voice, to recognize error, and to serve him where he would call you to go. Okay, brother?
Okay, thank you.
Call back again, man. We can talk about it. This is important doctrine. Topic, okay?
Right. I'll see if I can call back tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. God bless, buddy. All right. Hey, folks, 877-207-2276. We have one open line if you want to call, and let's get to David from New York. He called yesterday, and she's hustling because we have, you know, again, this is going really fast. Okay, good. You there, Dave? David?
Hey.
Hey. What's up, man?
I'm trying to turn off my computer. It doesn't
okay.
turn off. So what's up?
Oh, you, what's up? You call me.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no. No, the reason is you said you were going to guide me in the ways of pantheism.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? Oh, you're the pantheist.
But, yeah.
You're a pantheist, not a panentheist, right?
No, exactly, pantheist.
Okay, now define. There are different people have different ideas what pantheism is. Basically, it's the idea that all is God. God and the universe are one, the same thing. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, actually, I tend to lean towards the concept that we really don't know. I tend to.
Then you're an agnostic.
Well, it's like science. That science doesn't really know where it all started. But I think the human mind creates a concept of separation, which for me is what sin is all about.
See, okay, well, hold on. Let's get back to pantheism.
Separation.
Let's get back to pantheism.
Unlike animals. Animals live.
David,
for
David.
Instance, if you look at a fish.
David, 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 fish. David, 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 David.
Yes.
Let's get back to pantheism. Why do you believe in pantheism?
Because I believe that we're all the same. We're all energy.
Okay,
energy
so.
Energy taking different forms.
Okay, yeah. So why does that justify pantheism?
Well, basically because.
You're saying
it's all basically one.
One what?
We all started from one point.
How do you know that?
Well, science tends to lean towards that because, you know, where they based.
Okay. So then God started from one point, right?
Point horizon, yeah.
So you're saying God had a start.
No, actually, I think it's wrong for us to make assumptions. To make an assumption is to say, well, God is. That for instance, it's an assumption because we don't know what's beyond time and space.
Well, hold on a sec. Let me ask you, did God have a start or not? The answer is yes or no. He did or did not. It's an antonymic pair. There's no third option. God either began or did not. The universe either began, because you identify the universe and God as being the same thing. So,
see, the universe and God. Yeah, I know. You've had that topic.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the very error on your thesis or on your assumption. It's based on one or the other, and that's it.
Okay.
Well, how do you know that? That's the case in another dimension.
Okay, hold on
because
a second.
If we
Hold on. I'll answer the question. It's deal with logic. There's either a personal or impersonal cause of the universe, or the universe either had a beginning or did not have a beginning. See, it's called an antonymic pair. Antonyms are opposites. The universe was either either came into existence or it did not. It's like this. It's like, I am here or I am not here. Okay, I am either here or not here. What?
Yeah, so.
So there are no third options in this case. There aren't any. It's like, now the question. Because
one of the beauties that I like of Einstein is that he said that you will never be able to solve a problem with the same mind that created it. So if you keep with that same logic,
wait. First of all,
what I'm saying is,
wait a second, Dave. First of all, who said Einstein was right about that? And second, what does he mean by it? And third, let's get back on topic. You're saying the universe and God are the same thing. Well, the Kobe experiment demonstrates that the universe had a beginning.
It's the same thing, but I'm saying that we can't separate it either.
That's pantheism. The universe and God cannot be separated. Therefore, they're the same thing. Unless you want to say panentheism, that God is in the universe, somehow intertwined within it. So either way.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I think.
Either way. Hold on. Dave. Either way.
Yeah.
When you look at the universe, you're identifying the universe with God. Okay. So now we could just use the word universe. The universe had a beginning.
Right.
It did. So you're saying then, God had a beginning.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yes.
If the Creator basically began, well, you see, that's the whole logic of beginning, because you see, so that's where science has a very difficult task to try to comprehend the beginning of the universe, because it just doesn't make any sense, and that's where they go into the you know, where the event horizon, where nothing made sense.
Okay.
And from there, everything began. And the Dave, whole theory of expansion is...
Dave, you got to focus. Okay. Look.
I am focused. Actually, I think sometimes...
Now you're going into the expansion universe.
I really believe this. Apologists or people who really fall prey to this concept of the Bible don't open their minds to more logic. I mean, I think it's sad.
Wait a second, Dave. Dave, first of all, I'm using logic with you. I'm showing you antonymic pairs.
You don't use logic when you speak of the Bible.
I'm not speaking of the Bible, at least not right now. I'm trying to get with what you said and work logically with what you said to demonstrate that your pantheism is in itself illogical. I'm trying to show you that by using logic.
Okay.
What you're telling me is the universe had a beginning. Okay, then let me ask you a question. What brought the universe into existence?
God.
But wait a minute. If the universe and God are the same thing, they can't be separated. You just separated them by saying God brought the thing of which he's part of into existence. You just contradicted yourself. So your pantheism, right there, you're not being logical, you're not being consistent. If God brought the universe into existence, then he's separate from the universe. He's independent of it because he pre-existed it.
Let's say you did not exist. Would karma be ever existent?
Okay. Look, let's get back to the universe
thing. You created karma.
Look, no, yeah.
No, I'm using the same logic.
Is karma the same thing as what I am?
Well, you created it.
Yeah, I know I did. Is karma the same thing as what I am? Is it the same thing? What?
No, it's the terminology then.
Is it the same thing? Is it the same thing that I am? I'm a man, 53 years old. With clothes on. Is that what karma is? No. It's information stored on servers that people look at on websites. It's not the same thing. So when you say that God brought the universe into existence, that means that God is separate from the universe because God was existing without the universe. If he brought it into existence, there was a time when it didn't exist, the universe, and yet God did. If the universe and God were the same thing, then God couldn't bring it into existence because God, being the same thing as what the universe would have to exist because that's what God is. But since he brought it into existence, you're demonstrating that it's not the same thing as God. Therefore, you just refuted your own pantheism.
Okay. So can one exist without the other?
Yes, I just demonstrated. Even from your own admission, when you said God created the universe, then God has to be there in a pre-existent state, one form or another, either temporally or ontologically, without the universe existing. So therefore, by your own statement, you're admitting God can exist and the universe cannot because he created it.
What I'm saying with your logic is that you can say that the universe can be separate from God.
It is God separate. God created it.
It has nothing to do with the universe.
God created it, and you just admitted God created it. So you're not a pantheist.
What you're saying is that God could be away somewhere and never come back.
When did I say God could be away and never come back?
Well,
wait, he doesn't have a good GPS?
You said that God is separate from the universe, so he may have nothing to do with it. So he'll just say, well...
He created it.
Let it be.
He created it. Look, karma is all over the world.
I'm using your logic.
No. Look, you're doing what's called a fallacy of division, if I remember correctly. It's like saying the car is red, therefore the engine inside it is red. That they share the same properties.
You created a separation. Hold on, Matt.
James, I mean, I got 5 minutes.
David.
Look, we got two cars. Look. Okay. Let me stop here.
We can go on, but
we need more time.
You should make a statement of logic.
You should call. Hold on.
I want to speak
Dave, you should call back tomorrow, and we should talk about your pantheism. And again, we'll have to go through this to demonstrate how your pantheism is self-refuting. Now, you haven't seen how it's self-refuting. What you've done is offered a statement that you yourself refuted it, but you still don't understand why pantheism by nature is self-refuting.
No. I think that, you see, that the problem, Matt, is that if you can't solve a problem with the tactics of you know, three dimensions of physics. When you're speaking of creator,
this is logic, Dave. Take your right hand and put it in front of your face for me, will you?
Yeah, Yeah, I know. Smack.
Slap yourself upside the head. When your head clears, tomorrow, call me back. We're going to get the next caller. Because you're not being rational. You're not focusing. You're not being consistent.
No, actually, I'm doing just that.
On the contrary. I've already shown you where you're not.
Thank you.
Call me back tomorrow, okay? Okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay. Now, if you're watching the show, folks, you can see me do something like this in the camera. Because, let me tell you, David, he's not thinking logically. He's not thinking clearly. If the universe and God are the same thing, as pantheism says, and he says God created the universe, then they can't be the same thing. Very simple. He doesn't realize he's offered a self-refuting statement in his belief system. You can't have something be true if it's self-refuting. So his pantheism, from his own perspective, isn't true. I haven't even shown how pantheism can't be logically upheld. It cannot be logically upheld. Oh, boy. Okay. Maybe tomorrow we'll do that. Let's get to, who was it, David? Or is it Greg? David? Greg? Greg?
Greg.
Hey, Greg, how you doing, man?
Real good.
What do you got, big dude?
What's that?
What do you got?
Well, I wanted to, share a warning, I guess. The trick you often use where you'll say a verse of the Bible, you say, well, I believe that, and then they'll say, well, I don't agree with that, and then you quote the Bible verse.
Yeah, I trick people to quote a verse without them knowing it, and then just disagree with it.
Exactly. Well, I did that at the wrong time. In a Sunday school, an elder was leading it, and I was irritated with him because he was just butchering Romans 8:30,
okay.
The golden chain of redemption.
All right.
And I pulled that on him, and I realized I'd stand when I did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I had to come back and apologize to him. And I don't apologize for disagreeing with him, and but I think that was going over the line. I think you'd agree, right?
Well, let me tell you, Romans 8:30 for folks who don't know, I've got it in front of me, says this: whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's a really interesting verse. There's a lot of neat theology in there. Now, if I was in a Bible study where an elder of a church was ripping this out of context and shredding it, what I would do is I would call him names really loudly and then throw a book at him. No, I just say that just for fun. What I would do is wait patiently and or ask careful questions, because you don't want to embarrass him in front of his people. And you got to show respect to an elder, because that's what he's called to do. And what I would do is afterwards, I would say, I really was listening to what you were saying in Romans 8:30. I was wondering if we could talk about it, because I really want to talk about it with you. And then you say, well, hopefully he'll say, well, of course, let's talk. When do you want to get together? Now or later, whatever. And you present this information to him. Now, if he's teaching heresy, eventually you need to get strong. If he's not, and he's just not getting it, you do your best you can. And then hopefully, in a Bible study later, you kind of raise more questions. See what I'm saying?
Well, what I did is I sent him the same information weeks earlier about it. But
we got 1 minute. Go for it. We got 1 minute, man. Darn. Sorry, we got 1 minute in the show. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Okay, I said about the... how the
The
foreknowledge is not knowing because of the knowledge of the future. It's
right.
The personal knowledge. I sent that how that is wrong. And well, the thing is, he just totally talked just about knowledge, God's knowledge, and so I don't think that Jesus actually really knows everyone, and he disagreed with that. And I said, well, I went took him to Matthew 7 where Jesus says, I never knew you. And try to show him there's a different example of knowing.
Right.
That's knowledge of, not knowledge of events,
right,
but knowledge of people.
There's a salvific knowing, and there's a omniscience knowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he was just butchering that. I was actually a little ticked because he didn't even acknowledge it, that, what he had said before. And
okay. Well, the thing to do,
the thing to do is say,
I really appreciate what you're doing. You're teaching. I think you have many great insights. I was wondering if maybe we could look at this together. Okay, that's the way to start. And the music's going, and I got to quit, man. Why don't you call back tomorrow? We can talk about it some more, okay?
Okay.
Hey, man, sorry about that. We're out of time. Hey, folks, that's the music, and I have to take off. So, hey, by God's grace, you know what? I hope you'll be back here in the studio tomorrow night, and I hope that you would be listening. God bless, everybody. We'll see you. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.
Challenging and informative Christian radio, this is Solid Talk. KSPD Boise, AM 790.